Which is controlling six bad qualities: lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy.
That's called Sadguna. I guess technically Sadguna means six qualities. Sat meaning six, like Sat Goswami is in Guna. So that he's in control of the six qualities, so he's not under the influence of them. Lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. I've mentioned earlier on the podcast that these are represented by the three different incarnations of Jai and Vijay. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and what's the other two? And Shishupala and Dantavakra. That's right. And all of those are representing these qualities. For instance, Hiranyaksha is, I think, greed. Ravana is lust. So one technique that Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends is by studying those pastimes helps a devotee to become free from the particular quality that it represents. How does it help do that? Well, number one, by the process of hearing itself. And the second is by analysis, studying those pastimes and actually analyzing how these qualities manifest, what their symptoms are, and ultimately how destructive they are for the spirit soul and spiritual life. And then when one knows these things and one really wants to free oneself from them, then one prays to Krishna sincerely for assistance. And then Ridyantosta Hebadrani Vidhunoti Sritsitam, and then Krishna from within the heart, he destroys these things.
And затем Krishna уничтожает эти
But the reason a devotee can first of all control these qualities and then ultimately free himself from them is because he wants to.
No, because he wants it?
Because he wants to, yes.
Ага. Но в первую очередь это становится возможным благодаря желанию преданного, который хочет освободиться от влияния этих качеств.
Unless one really has the desire to be free from these things, then it becomes very, very slow work to actually become free.
Если у кого-то нет настоящего искреннего желания освободиться от этих качеств, тогда этот процесс становится очень длительным и тяжелым.
Chanting the or saying the offenses to the holy name, we say this Shutvapi Dharma Mahatma Yapiti Ahitodama Hamma Di Paramusopyastra Krit. That after having heard all of the problems that are associated with these qualities, one still maintains attachment, that is offensive chanting. So the reason that the reason we hear about these pastimes, the first reason is to convince ourselves that we should give them up. These are all qualities of the and consequences of the modes of passion and ignorance. And when someone is very determined to give them up, then the first stage is he's able to actually control these qualities. Yeah, more accurately, one actually controls the effect of these qualities on oneself. First one learns how to really tolerate the influence of these qualities, even though they may be present somewhat. And then by regulated practice, gradually, as the heart becomes cleansed, one becomes less and less subject to these influences. And when a devotee is free from the influence of the modes of material nature, then he is unaffected. At least in the mode of goodness, there is very little influence of these, although they may be prevalent in more subtle forms. Those subtler forms of this are like desire for worship and fame and prestige as a Vaishnava. So at least in these three ways we can accept this sadguna as being a quality of a Vaishnava. Three ways. One is that we're very much making the effort, but still their influence is there, but we remain determined. In other words, these qualities are not fully under control, but we want to bring them under control, even though sometimes we become subordinate to them. And then the second one is when we actually have these qualities under control, they're still there, but they no longer influence our lives greatly, but they're becoming purified and gradually disappearing. And the third is the liberated state, where the influence of these qualities is no longer there. It's not a question of their influence is not there, they're not present. Actually, this third stage is not the final stage, because Bhagavatam says, Aruya Krichena Parampadam Tata, that from this stage one can fall down if one hasn't developed real attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. So Buddhists and Mayavadis, they may balance off the effect of these qualities, but unless they develop the positive attachment to Krishna, then they also risk the chance of falling down. And those of them that don't develop that quality and don't fall down, then they may enter into the Brahma Jyoti. So, when we read these qualities, we should recognize that they're not automatically in us just because we call ourselves devotees. But these are really the qualities of a perfected devotee. And we should aspire in order to also achieve such perfection. Anyone have any questions on that?
Krishna Priya is asking that about the mind control. So is it like when we have these desires, these six bad qualities, and we are controlling them, so we are not acting upon them, we can call this a mind control?
When we're they're acting, you mean they're influencing us, but we're not acting on them? Well, mind control is that you don't let the influence of these things come into the mind, because these things sit in different places. They affect not just the mind, but the senses and the intelligence as well. So real mind control is not to give in to these different vegan or pushing for even a moment. Just like there was a discussion between two Vaishnavas, and they're discussing what control of the mind is. So one says that when, even for one moment, one does not think about negative activities, that's control of the mind. That's the negative qualities are these six things. And then the other one says the same thing in a different way. He says that even if one stops thinking about Krishna just for a moment, then he's not controlling his mind. Is that okay?
Thank you, and we should always think of Krishna.
Yes. If we always think about Krishna, then we will go through these stages without knowing or making any or the other, and we will just find ourselves in the spiritual world. It may be more difficult when these enemies, as they're called, they're challenging us, But that's the best way to be free from these influences. That's my personal experience. I know that now in the mornings, I'm sitting here this morning from 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock, and I was just absorbed in writing, thinking about Krishna. And Krishna is so attractive, and Krishna's pastimes are so attractive that everything else, all of these other things, they just become impotent. They have no influence at all. That's why sometimes I recommend the devotees, they just take a vow to chant 192 rounds and then just chant all day long, just to get that experience. Chanting midnight to midnight. And then you get such a wonderful experience of the protection of the holy name. You're just free from all of these things. Devotees should try it. Lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. Lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. So Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha. From lust comes anger. Frustrated lust comes anger. And lust, in its applied to acquisition, material acquisition, becomes greed. And of course, in order to be greedy, you have to be envious of what others have. And that starts off with being envious of what Krishna has. So then Krishna says, Krodha Bhavati Samahat Samahat Smriti Brahma Bhutinashtam. And in that way, one becomes overwhelmed by illusion, and then one comes to the stage of madness. So these are horrible things to be harboring within the heart, the seeds of these qualities. And like a weed in a garden, you want to get it out. You want to weed it out. So similarly, you want to weed out these things. And the symptom, or how we become inspired to weed these out, is by association of advanced devotees. Their influence is such that we want to be like them. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read about all these examples of these wonderful devotees who are free from all of these qualities. And especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about the inhabitants of the spiritual sky and how also they don't have any of these qualities at all. So when a devotee, he is inspired and he thinks, I would like to actually be like them, and I would like to serve Krishna in the way they do, then that is the mood of devotional service that brings us back towards Krishna. Okay, other questions about this?
You just said that the inhabitants of the spiritual world, they don't have these qualities at all.
No.
So, they don't have.
No.
Yeah. And so how then we acquire these qualities? Do we get them because we, because the material energy influences us, or when we get the material body, or?
Yeah. If I remember rightly, these are there in the second, third canto, how Brahma actually creates these qualities. Just like if you have a grain of sand, and that's how rain forms, is that just a little speck of dust and the water, it coagulates around it and then it falls down. So in the same way, that initial desire to be independent of Krishna, that becomes the seed around which these other qualities then develop. Just like light is white, but if you look at it through a prism, then you see the different colors. So from the original desire of being independent from Krishna, then that manifests these different facets of independence, lust, anger, greed, etc. And therefore, when one agrees to become Krishna's servant, then one starts again the process of neutralizing these influences because they are not present in a pure servant. Of course, you'll find these words, they're also present in the qualities of pure devotees in a spiritual sense. Just like kama means lust. So there's a material one and there's a spiritual one. But the similarity is just in the words. The actual qualities are completely different. Krishna gets angry when Mother Yashoda doesn't feed him. But that anger is just a manifestation of love and a desire for reciprocation with love. It's not a product of the material modes. And it's not because material desires are frustrated.
Okay, anything else?